Okay, good afternoon. Let's see, so hopefully you had an enjoyable long weekend. Let's see, so we just got started on Friday with the relations, and so the plan for today is to continue with that. So let me just remind you of the notation that we already had surrounding relations and then add some more. So today I'd like to move into the concept of equivalence relations. So today, equivalence relations. And once again, much of the motivation is to provide us more fodder for practicing proofs and understanding the logic that goes into those, and they are good for that. So I'll do a mix of those things. So let me start by just recalling the setup for relations and do a few claims and how you would go about the logic of proving those. Recall relation. From A to B is a subset R contained in A cross B, right? And one of the examples that we had were the identity, and that one will come up often. So I sub A. And this was just the set of all pairs x comma x, such that x is in A. Okay, so it's a small subset of all the possible pairs, just the ones where the two are the same. All right, and there are two classes that provide good examples. And so one of them is the class we did last time. Let me just remind you a few of those. And those are where you have finite sets, and for those directed graphs work well. And I'll just keep an example of that in mind. R is equal to, and I'll just draw my diagram for that. So this is a directed graph and I'll name the elements. And this time I'm gonna try mapping it back to itself, okay? And so this is supposed to be a relation on a set, and the set that this is on is the set 1, 2. Okay, so this is a directed graph for a relation on the set 1, 2. Remember that being on a set means you go from that set back to itself. Okay, so that's what I'm going to draw. Actually, I could also draw it the same relation using a different picture where I go from 1, 2 to 1, 2. So is that clear? So if I were to try to draw, actually, maybe I'll try writing out the relation and then we can finish it that way. So a relation, again, it's going to be a set of pairs, right? So it's got to be a set of pairs. And these arrows are supposed to tell me which pairs, right? So this says that I have the pair 1, 2, and this one says that I have the pair 1, 1, and this one says that I have the pair 2, 2. So I just have those three things, 1, 1, 1, 2, and 2, 2. So I hope that notation is clear. So these are the same. If I were to try to draw it using a graph where I have a domain pair and a range pair, is it clear how many arrows there would be to represent that same relation?
So would there be three?
Correct, yeah. There would be exactly three, and they would be the ones that go from 1 to 1, now it becomes horizontal, from 1 down to 2, and from 2 over to 2. So these are just two different ways of drawing the same relation. And sometimes one's more handy and sometimes the other, depending on what you're trying to figure out about it, okay? All right, and then one more nice class of examples are ones where they're from, they're on R. So some relations on R, the real numbers, R, okay, that's confusing. So when I write R with this font, this is the real numbers. And try not to get it confused with this other font that I use to mean a relation, okay? Okay, let me not use the letter R for these relations, just for that reason. So I'll take T will be one of my relations, okay? And this will be the relation that I'll use for some examples in a minute. It's gonna be the set of all pairs, which is what the relation needs to be, X, comma Y. And then I have some condition, and the condition is that X squared is equal to Y. And the way that I like to draw these is via instead of a directed graph, just a graph. And I just graph it. Okay, so that gives me the set of pairs. It's exactly the ones that appear in that graph. Okay, and so then let's see. Let me try a couple others just to make it hopefully clear how this notation works. So if I have, let me start with the graph this time. Let's say I have this graph over here. And let me use another color. So there's one for the graph and a different color for the axes. So let's say I take this graph, everything over here. And now I want to turn that into this other type of notation. So U is equal to the set of pairs X comma Y such that. Okay, is it clear what my condition is now? So this is supposed to be a graph where all of the points that are in that shade, in that red shaded region, are elements of my relation. So all these things over here are in my relation and these things over here are not, okay? So the condition I need is that the X value, so this is where X is equal to Y, and over here is where the X value is less than the Y value. So that's the condition I need. So let me write that down. So this is the set of all X and Y such that the X value is less than or equal to the Y value. Okay, so is it clear that so these two represent the same thing and those two represent the same thing? Clear? Let me do one more just because it'll be handy later on. And let me draw this graph. So again, I'll just draw the axes in black and then the relation itself in red. So the red part is the relation. And so then this relation, we call it V. Is a set of all X comma Y such that, okay. So if I give an X value here. So here I look at an X value and take all the Y's that are bigger than that. Here I look at an X value and the Y that I get is the one whose square is that, which is the square of it rather. If I have an X value here, what are the two Y values that I have?
Would it be plus or minus X?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So there are a couple ways to write it. I could write it that X is equal to Y or X is equal to minus Y, right? So that's one way to say that. So those are the two things. Okay, so those are some examples of relations. All right. All right, and now we just do a couple of examples of things that we can prove using the relation in terms of these notations. So here's a claim. Now, let's say that minus 4 is not in the range. Of T, and I'm going to use that same T as before. Okay, so that's this T here. Okay, so how about let me just write out the proof to this one. So what do I need to check to say that it's not in the range? So the range is going to be all those Y values, right? So let me just write that down. So the range of T is going to be the set of all y such that there exists x. Okay, and our universe here is R, because everything is in the real numbers. And then the condition that we need is that X R Y. Okay, so people remember that that's the definition. So that's what it means to be in the range. And so what is that? So this is the set of all Y such that there exists X in R. Okay, and for x, r, y, what do we have? So our condition over here is that x squared is equal to y, right? So that's going to be the same set. All right, so that's what that range is. Oh, yes, thank you, Richard, and I will do that. Thank you for catching that. Yes, so as pointed out in the chat here, I have mistakenly written R here when the relation is T. Okay, so that was an error. So let me fix that. So we should have our relation there, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we can run through the proof. I could do a sketch, or I could just, let me just try writing out the proof this time, right? So any idea what would be a good logic to use if we're trying to show that something is not in the range of T?
Could you say that negative four is negative? Mm-hmm. And or like, I guess, proof of exhaustion, maybe? Like when X is positive or X is negative?
I see. Right. Take the two possibilities for X and so cases, in other words.
Yeah. Cases. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's certainly one approach. You could assume that X is positive and then Y would be positive, which negative four is not. You could assume that Y is negative, X is negative, and then Y would be again positive, which negative four is not. So that would be certainly be one way to phrase it. Okay. Any other thoughts about ways to sort of phrase that? That's the correct argument. And then the question is just sort of what's a nice way to phrase it? And so any other ideas for how you might phrase it? Yeah, square root of a negative does not exist. That's another way to say that. That's right. Another way of phrasing it. So, and let me suggest one more, at least it's again equivalent, but another way to say it is to assume for contradiction that it is in the range, okay? And then you'd have something that gives you a contradiction to exactly the two things that have just been mentioned here. So let me try that. So let me just phrase it the last way, although either of the others works as well. But let me just phrase it that the way that I suggested. I'm writing it. So assume for contradiction that minus four is in the range of T. Hence, there is y in, I'm sorry, x, let me write it as x. X in R with x squared is equal to minus four. Okay, and now I can use either of the phrasings that you just gave me. Right, which is less than zero. If x is in R, then x squared is bigger than or equal to zero. Okay, so now I have Q and not Q, and that gives me a contradiction. Okay, so hence, uh, x squared is greater than or equal to zero and x squared is less than zero, a contradiction. Okay, so when I have the q and the not q, and so then I'm done. So therefore, minus four is not in the range of g. Okay, so is that clear? So that's one way to set up the logic that fits with our earlier framework. All right, so what about trying to show that, okay, so maybe I'll stop there and then try another fact that we can try to prove using our logic before adding equivalent solution. So let me do one more. Claim. Let's say that we have a relation. If R is a relation, and it can be, that need not be on something, it can be from A to B. Okay, so I see. So here's a question, is there a faster way to prove it? Well, you can decide whether you want to excise a few of the words, but the proof is going to be fundamentally this one. So depending, you know, you could phrase it. Let's see. So how could I make it shorter? So I guess this part is really just an aside. So I never really used that. So the proof really starts here. Assume, okay. Assume for contradiction. Hence, there is. I probably didn't have to restate because I just said it a second ago. So I could probably have left that out and just said that this is a contradiction, because I already have both the Q and the not Q written out. So that would make it a little shorter, but the argument is the same. So. All right. Okay, but now we have some relation between a pair of sets, A and B, that could be the same, could be different, either way. Then we claim that the domain of the inverse, our inverse, is equal to the range of R. Okay. Okay, and let's go through our usual steps over here. So sketch. All right, so let's see. So what would the logic of something like this be? So again, you have to kind of remember what everything is. So I have something equals something else, right?
Could you start with like stating what R is? So R is the like x, y, x, mm-hmm. whereas x is in A and y is in B.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where inverse R is y, x, where y is in x is in A and Y is in B.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just straight out say like, or what?
I see. Just say that they're the same. You can do pretty close to doing that. Actually, you can pretty much do that. Making it very fast, and you can pretty much do that. Typically, of course. These two are both sets, right? Just like you've just explained, this is a set, right? And similarly, the domain and range of those things are also sets, right? So this is a set, that's a set. So typically, the go-to thing is to prove those two things separately. But if you've got your hands on it and it's sufficiently straightforward, just like with if and only if proofs, the go-to thing is to prove each of those separately. But sometimes you can do them both at once. Same here, sometimes you can do both of those at once if you can just kind of maintain everything as you go. And so that's possible. So we can maybe try that here and see if we can make that all work here. So if we were to do that, logic, we want two sets to be equal. So domain of R inverse and the range of R are both sets. So both containments are needed, but they could be maybe done at once. So let's try them together and see if that's possible. So then we can try to do exactly what you're saying here. We can try to just sort of write out what our set is. So then the domain, I'll start with the right-hand side, the range of R. So what is that by definition? That's the set of all Y so that X, R, Y, right? I'm sorry, I left out something. What did I leave out? A variable just came out of nowhere, right? It needs a quantifier, right? So there exists an X. And then we have X, R, Y, right? So that's the range. Okay, and like you were saying, maybe we can just keep this equality all the way through and not get a containment. So we can try that, right? So this is then gonna be the set of all Y such that, okay, I'm just gonna leave that alone. X, R, Y, if and only if Y are inverse X. Right, so I can restate it that way. Do I need an element of the real numbers in the proof? You mean in this proof up here?
No, like later on. I guess it's just a sketch, but later on for
this one.
Proof, yeah.
No, this one. I'm not assuming that the real numbers. These are just any old sets.
Okay.
So if I did have an element anywhere, it would be and maybe I should have it. It would be element of A. Would be the right thing to put in, and it's very reasonable to put that in. Yeah, because then my quantifiers are correct. Yeah, thank you. And also, it does remind you where you live, because you know, so you keep track of what your universe is. Okay, so then so we have this right. And we're trying to get this to be the domain. And so then we can kind of start out from the other side. So we can start over here with the domain of R inverse. So that's gonna be the set of all Y such that there exists X in A so that Y is related by R inverse. To X, okay, but these are actually exactly the same sequence of symbols, so those are the same thing. So we're done. Okay, so does that sketch make sense? So then we can try to turn that into a direct proof. So once again, we could have gone through and done each one of these separately, or just like with the if and only if, we can try to do it all together and keep equals between every one. Sometimes that works, often it doesn't, but if it does, it's faster. So that's, yeah. Okay, so here we are. So proof, and we can just now copy basically what we have over there. So the range of R is equal to the set of all Y, and as advertised and as suggested, we should note where our quantifier lives. So this is, there exists X in A, R, X, R, Y, and then this is the same as a set of Y such that there exists X in A, that we're not changing, but we're rewriting X, R, Y to Y, R inverse X. Okay, and then this is by definition the domain of R inverse. Okay, so then we're done. Okay, so that one is straightforward, short once you get all the logic clean. Any questions about that one? Okay, then the next thing I want to do is look at equivalence relations as advertised for today. And so those are some extra properties that the relation might or might not satisfy. All right, and so the properties. Of some relations. And there are three of them, and together they constitute an equivalence relation. So let me start. So a definition, and these are going to be for relations on a set. So they go from a set back to itself. That's what we're interested in. So if R is a relation on A, okay, so it goes from A back to itself. Then R is reflexive. If for every X in A, we have that X are X. I'll just write down the three, and you should be thinking about our examples and see if you can identify which of the examples, I guess I put them on the same side here. Which of these examples have these different properties? Okay, so just try to think through how those hold out, and we'll talk about them in a minute. So two, R is symmetric. If, and this one takes pairs of things, for all X and Y in A, X R Y implies that Y R X. Okay. And then the third one takes three things. So R is transitive. If for all, and now there are three things, X, Y, and Z in A, and if we have X R Y and Y R Z together, these imply X R Z. Okay, so those are the three conditions. And then four, R is an equivalence relation. If all three of these hold. Reflexive, symmetric, and transitive. Okay, and those will come in handy, so we will do some, make use of these later, but for now, let's just try to identify which of these satisfy which of these different properties. Okay, so unfortunately, I put these on the same side, but let me try here. So all right, so let's start with one here, just to see if we can figure out which satisfy which properties. So so example, R, so this is the one that I have several pictures of. Let me draw this picture. Because to me, it's the most clarifying. Okay, and so now we want to identify which of those three properties it has. So can anyone identify? So reflexive, symmetric, transitive. Any thoughts about which of any one of those three?
It looks like it's reflexive just because one goes back to one and two goes back to two.
That's exactly right. And that's the thing to look for. One goes back to one and two goes back to two. And that's what it asks for over here in reflexive. It says for each of those elements of X, we just need it to go back to itself. Okay, that's what's required. And so that's true. So that's a yes. Okay, so all loops are there, is one way to say it. What about symmetric?
For that one, I would say it's not, because you can go from one to two, but you can't go back from two to one.
Exactly. That's exactly right. As it says, we can get, we have one is related to two, but two is not related to one, right? So we can't get back. So this is a no. So one is related to two, but two is not related to one. So you can't turn it around, all right? And what about that transitive?
I would say yes, because you can get to two from one to two and then stay at two.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. It's the hardest one I find to check. You got it really quickly there. But because it's got, you have to check for all triples, right? So this one, you just have to check for each one. Here, you have to check for every pair. Here, you have to check for all triples. So it's the most work to check. But yes, you're right. It's got all of them. If I go from one to one and then to two, then I can go from one to two. And if I go from one to two and then from two to two, then I can just go from two to two. And if I go from one to one and then back from one to one, then I can just go to one to one. So I can always, if I can get from A to B and then B to C, I can get from A to C. So that's so several things to check. So for every pair of composable arrows. Okay, but I claim it is true, and I agree with you that it is true. Okay, so that's an example. Let's try a couple more here, just to see if we're getting this intuition right. So let's see, let's try this U here. And for this one, let me, it's from R back to R. And let me again draw the graph, because again, to me, that's clarifying, but let me also write out the set and then scroll it up. So X comma Y such that I'm just copying so that I have it on the other side, X equals Y. Okay, so now I wanna look at again, these three properties, reflexive, symmetric, and transitive. Okay, so anyone see any of those three? Usually, just because of the number of parameters, they become strictly harder to check. So it's easier to start at the top. So let's start at the top. So let's start with reflexive. So what is a reflexive going to mean here?
It means that you can get from X to X.
Mm-hmm. And so that means this line here, right? Because for each X, I want to see that it's related to X, and it is. It's related to X and everything. Bigger than it also. So since X is less than or equal to itself over here, we have that every X comma X is here. Since X is less than or equal to X. Does that make sense? So there are two ways that you can see it, either from the graph where you have the diagonal there, or you can see it from the formula over here, where if you plug in X and X, then it satisfies the formula. They both work. Okay, so I would say that one is a yes. Or another way to say it is that the set of pairs XX is in there, okay? Okay, what about symmetric? I heard the end of an answer there, but I'm not sure.
No, I would say.
I agree. And and with no, of course, you can just come up with a counterexample, right? So what would be that?
Like 0, 1 is not in this set, but... Oh, no. 0, 1 is in this set, but 1, 0 is not in this set.
Mm-hmm. And I just use an R where I should use a U again. Correct. Yeah, so 0, 1 is related by U to 1, but not the other way around. Exactly as you say, right? So that's the easy way to get no is you just have to find a counterexample. And what about the transitive? So we can try to check it, right? So if we have x, y, and z with, and so what does it say we're supposed to check over here? So x is less than or equal to y is less than or equal to z, then can I conclude that x is less than or equal to z? I can, right? So then I have x is less than or equal to z. So that one is again, yes. And actually for that one, I find it easiest to use the formula. So sometimes it's easier to use the formula, sometimes it's easier to use the graph. So that's yes. So the original claim is over here. If I were to do my quantifiers correctly, which I didn't write out here, this is transitive here, right? And so it says for all triples. So for transitivity, I actually have to bring in 3. I have to bring in an x, a y, and a z if I'm going to talk about transitivity. Oh, I see what you're saying. But it's not in my original statement of the pairs. Yes. So, but in any case, I hope that answered your question. If I'm going to talk about transitivity, I must bring in a triple. And then I have to start looking at which pairs are, and look at them pairwise. So x is related to y. Y is related to Z, and then I'm going to conclude that X is related to Z. So if I were to write this out a little bit more carefully with my quantifiers, that is, if X, Y, and Z are in R, and X is U related to Y, and Y is U related to Z. So that's my input over here, right? Is that we have X is related to Y and Y is related to Z. That's our input data. Then X is less than or equal to Y because that's what it means to be U related. And Y is less than or equal to Z because that's what it means to be U related, right? So then we can use the properties of less than or equals that X is less than or equal to Z. So we have that X is U related to Z. So that's how I'd write it a little bit more carefully. I hope that answered the question. Okay. All right, so those are some examples where we have some of the properties, but not all. For an equivalence relation, we would like all of them. So let me just do one more example, this last one here. And so example V, okay, and I'll draw the picture again and then scroll. So it's this one, and we wrote out a formula for it also, which I will do. But then we wanna check those 3 properties just like we did before. And so you might be thinking which of those are true and which are not. So this is acceptable. I'm just copying what I wrote above, X comma Y, so it's that X is equal to Y or X is equal to minus Y. Okay, and once again, reflexive is just requires checking on a singleton, symmetric on a pair, and a transitive on a triple. Okay, so anyone figure out any of those 3?
I would say that it's reflexive because it's 2 lines.
Okay. And what the way I would phrase it is, in particular, it's this line. It's got the line that's x comma x, and that's the one that you need for reflexive, right? Because whenever I have an x here, I also have x comma x. So it's that specific line that's t. But yes, the answer is correct. So yes, since the line x comma x is in V. So I've written it a couple different ways, but that's the one way to see it. Okay, what about the symmetric?
I would say yes as well.
And do you have a way of seeing that? Here you can't just come up with a counterexample, right?
We have that x equals y line, which x or also leads to y, or
yeah, basically you can just flip them around and it's still true, right?
Yeah.
Didn't change it.
Uh-huh. And then the other one, if you flip it around, it just goes from one quadrant to, I don't know how to explain it.
But you're right. And in fact, the way I would like to say what I think you're saying is that if I flip it across this line, it's still there, right? It's preserved by the flip over the line x equals y. Right?
Yeah, the flip over a line theorem. I don't know what you.
Yeah, want to call it. That's right. In fact, it does. It comes up in calculus looking for functions that are their own inverse. That's right. And the way it's usually said is it's preserved by the reflection of that line. That's the more mathematical way to say it. But yes, that's what it that's the way to see it. So since the graph is preserved by reflection over x equals y. Let me leave myself more space. But you can also just write it out as a formula, right? And that's the other way to say it. If you prefer, if we have x v related to y, then it's cases, right? So either it's equal to it or it's equal to negative it, and then you just do each one separately. Y is equal to x, or y is equal to minus x, and then you can do those two cases separately. So if y is equal to x, then y vx, and if y is equal to minus x, then y vx, and so we're done. Okay, so that's the way to say it in formulas, but you can also see it by looking at the graph, by seeing this reflection over the line. Okay, and let's see, let me move transitive down here. What about transitive?
Is it, yeah, it's yes, but how do I prove it?
It is yes, and it's a little bit tricky. But let me say one way to do it. So there are lots of ways to do it. Let me give you one way. Okay, so you can try it this way. So here's another way to write that same relation. I can write v is equal to just copying what we had above, yx such that x equals y or x equals minus y. But notice that previously we had this inequality. We had it phrased in terms of inequality, which was enabled us to combine them. You can also phrase this one in a way that makes it easier to combine them. So this is acceptable x comma y such that. What about their squares? If x is equal to y or x is equal to minus y, what can I say about x squared and y squared?
X squared equals y squared.
Exactly. And in fact, they're equivalent, right? So x squared is equal to y squared if and only if x is equal to y or negative y. This is the same thing. So now I can write out my proof. if we have X, Y, and Z. So once again, I've got to take three things and I have to look at them pairwise, right? So with X VY and Y VZ, so we have X squared is equal to Y squared and Y squared is equal to Z squared, but equality, we know, if they're both equal, then they're equal. So so we have that X squared is equal to Z squared. So we have that X V Z. So that's one way to say it. So rewriting it in terms of a nice equality is a handy way to make it shorter. You could use the other one and you go through a bunch of cases, both would work, okay? Okay, so those are some examples. So we got YYY, that means that hence V is an equivalence relation. Okay, so that's playing around with some examples. Any questions about those examples? The second one. Oh, this one? Oh, in symmetric. Symmetric. Oh, this one. I think that's just done. You can even ignore that word. I think it's just that we're done. Okay, other questions? Okay, so let's see, there's not a lot of time left. Maybe I'll just do one more proof, or at least set up the logic for one more proof just to get some little practice with it. So claim. And this is another way to look at symmetry. The relation a relation R is symmetric on a set A is a symmetric if and only if R is equal to R inverse. Okay, so let's just think through let's just think through the logic. Oh, by the way, if I have a graph, how do I get the inverse, the graph of the inverse? If I have one of these graphs here. So if I want the inverse, I have to switch the roles of X and Y. And to switch the roles of X and Y, it's again this reflection across the X equals Y line. So that's the reason that that picture ought to agree with what I've drawn here. Okay, but let's just try to see how the logic would go. So the logic okay, so first of all, it's an if and only if statement. So what does that mean I have to do?
Biconditional.
Right. So we need to show right, very good. So let's look at the forward one. So the forward one, it says that I'm assuming that it's symmetric. I want to show that R is equal to R inverse. And what do I need to do to show that R is equal to R inverse? So I'm going to assume symmetric. So remember, R and R inverse are both sets, right? So if I'm going to show that they're equal, what must I do?
You would want to show that X comma X is in both sets.
Mm-hmm. So that would be to show that it's reflexive, right? So I need to show that if x y is in one, then y then x y is in the other.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But I have to do it both ways, right? So what I was hoping for here is, since I'm trying to prove equality of sets, I need to show this containment and I need to show that containment. Okay. So that's what I need to prove. If I have XRY, then so over here, if I have XRY, then I have to get XR inverse Y. And if I have XR inverse Y, then I have to get XRY, right? So I have to go both directions because I have an equal sign here, right? So I have to do both containments. Okay, and then for the other direction, I'm going to assume R is equal to R inverse, and show. Okay, so I have to show symmetric, and symmetric says that if I have for all x and y, then Rxy implies. So that's just one direction, and show symmetric. Okay, so that's the logic. I'm totally out of time, so I'll do it next time, but you might try to put those together yourselves and try to figure out how you would turn that into a proof. But that's just an outline of the logic, and so we will turn that into a proof next time. And then there's a little bit more to do with equivalence relations, which so we'll do some more examples of that also. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to turn off the recording and stick around if you have questions.